Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, I promise we're going to start here in just a second. But first, if you're not subscribed to the Friday After Party podcast on our Patreon page, you're missing a huge chunk of our weekly podcast shenanigans here on the show. Seriously, here's what the After Party is all about. It's essentially me and Kimberly Johnson talking about politics and entertainment, but we also talk a lot about private, revealing things in our personal lives, too. It's an uninterrupted 90 minutes where it's kind of like eavesdropping on an evening chat between me and Kimberly. It's far more personal than the free shows, but with all the latest political commentary in there, too, in a format that sounds a little bit like the free show did maybe 10 years ago. So don't miss out. Subscribe to the Friday After Party level at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, and you'll also get two Shadow shows included in that level of support. Again, it's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, and now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
Come on, Robin, to the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, April 2, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,169 of the Biden-Harris administration, 217 days until the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram, TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And that dude right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
When you say Buzz Burbank.
Paranoid.
You said it all.
Hi, here he comes.
Paranoid? Who told you that?
You know, sometimes paranoia is just a wacky misunderstanding. Hi, he's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we have moisture-wicking technology.
True.
Did you have a nice Easter?
I did. I love Easter.
On Easter Sunday, Republicans went out looking for eggs so they could grant them personhood.
Ah, shit.
I got my Trump Bible in the mail yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm already suspicious. On the cover, it says the King Donald edition. That can't be.
That's not a thing.
Can't be right. Trump's Bible also includes, and you may have heard about this, also includes a copy of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and a diploma from Trump University.
Hey! So, hey, sign me up. Get me one of those things, yeah.
Now, next Monday, there'll be a total eclipse of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So let's all be sure and tell Trump not to look at it. That should work. Crypto con artist Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to 25 years in prison for his scams. He was also ordered to forfeit $11 billion and to use a conditioner. So, changes.
Repeat.
I do not understand people. First thing I hear, nobody wants to see two old dudes battle it out this year, and then they buy movie tickets to see Godzilla and King Kong.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show. Oh. Happiness is a jail train gang jumpsuit.
When I see you in the pen,
oh, yeah,
wearing that jumpsuit, orange is the new orange.
Yeah,
I know your tiny fingers won't be on the button.
Happiness
is a jail trunk
and jumpsuit.
Happiness is a jail, yes it is.
Trunk
is a jail
We don't play that nearly as often as we should. The great Rocky Mountain Mike right there, Rocky MNT and Mike on Twitter. Yes.
Happiness would be a cold sell. Rocky Mountain Mike, also follow him on YouTube as I do.
Yes, great follow. Absolutely. Go watch his Iceland documentary.
Oh, yeah.
It's so... Whenever I watch that thing, and I've watched it a couple of times, I always think of Anthony Bourdain's first episode of No Reservations when he went to Iceland and fucking hated it. And so the contrast between Anthony Bourdain having a horrible, horrible time in Iceland versus Rocky Mountain Mike having a wonderful time in Iceland is a fun contrast. Yeah,
you know, in this case, I have to go with Rocky Mountain Mike because I've been there, too, and I would also give it a rave review. I think it's a place you should visit, and Americans are welcome there. Germans, not so much, but Americans... Now they said Germans, I'm told, I asked people in the, you know, in the hospitality industry when I was there, said, you know, do you hate the ugly Americans? Are you just tired of us? Are you just sick of us? And they said, no, we're not. They said, we hate the Germans because they come here and they spend no money and they bring tents and they camp out in the wilderness, and it does us absolutely no good. So Americans welcome, Germans not so much.
Those goddamn camping Germans.
That's right.
Get the fuck out of Iceland with your tents and your sleeping bags. Stupid 999, you Germans.
Yeah. No, but it was a wonderful place. And anybody, in the case of Anthony Bourdain, anybody can have a bad experience on a bad day any place. You know, it's just the odds.
Speaking of Bourdain and cooking things, I'm going to be in Tacoma Park, Maryland on Sunday, April 14th. You know why I'm going to be there?
I do. I'm excited.
Because Lisa Lucas and the great Debriana Mancini are having a book event for their amazing cookbook called That Time We Ate Our Feelings.
Brilliant.
That's being presented by Busboys and Poets Books. And that's going to be happening on Sunday, April 14th. 5 p.m. in Tacoma, Maryland at Busboys and Poets. You can go to busboysandpoets.com/events. I will be there to have a conversation with Lisa and Debriana. Cool. We will talk about my absolute inability to cook a damn thing for a number of reasons, including, you know, it usually helps if you're a chef, if you're a cook, to have a sense of smell, because then you can smell the food before you actually taste it. Dear. That's an integral part of cooking food.
Yes, it is. Aroma is part of flavor. Yes.
Right. And so I'm going to go there and we're going to talk about all the amazing things that other people can smell, but which I cannot. Great cookbook. Yeah. Filled with comfort food. That Time We Ate Our Feelings has got some incredible comfort food recipes. Plus,
that's the thing about it. It's for all of us. It's for all of us who survived that period of time. It's more than just a recipe book or a cookbook.
Yeah.
It's for those of us who survived and ate our feelings.
Yeah, I got a great signed copy of That Time We Ate Our Feelings. Both Lisa and Debriana signed it for my mom. I gave my mom a copy of the book Christmas. And she saw the title. And she's like, what is Bob trying to tell me with this time? That time we ate our feelings? What does that even mean?
Yeah, reading too much into it, I think, maybe.
I have some sort of mental illness that I'm not aware of? She's thinking, no, you're fine, Mom. That's a fun title. That's kind of a joke. It's a meme.
It's just fun.
Eating your feelings, right? So, So again, Sunday, April 14th, 2024, me in person with Lisa Lucas and Debriana Mancini, authors of That Time We Ate Our Feelings. If you haven't picked up the cookbook, please do it now. And lots of familiar faces in there too. I think you get a mention in the book. T-Rex gets a mention in the book. Rude Pundit, I think, is in the book too. So lots
all
of fun.
Our friends.
Yeah. And so it's like guidebooks like this I desperately need because, as I said, I can't smell food. But I can
someday
taste
it. Yeah. Someday they will break you of your habit of bottled marinara, I think, probably.
That's absolutely true. Although, you know what? My Italian grandmother, key ingredient in her spaghetti sauce was always bottled marinara, like ragu, just straight ragu right out of the jar. So that's, I know, it's a blasphemy for Italian nonnas, but she did. I mean, she was into it. So, and of course, no one was complaining about her food when she was around. So, also, speaking of things to do, to look at, we've got new designs in the Bob Seska Show Mall, which everyone's loving the mall right now. We're selling all kinds of fun items, cell phone cases.
Again, the word fun has reared its head.
That's true. We've got mugs, we got t-shirts, baseball shirts, shirts for men, women, different sizes, different qualities, v-neck shirts, tote bags, wall art. The magnets are especially appropriate for the brand new After Party logo design, because then you can put the magnet on your refrigerator,
and the new design features the famous refrigerator that's the third star of the After Party show on Fridays with Bob and Kimberly.
We do we record the After Party from inside the refrigerator, just so you know. And I'm wearing my Hugh Hefner smoking jacket mascot as we do it. So but there's a new logo design for the After Party. New jetpacks made of beef design in there. Make sure to navigate around. There's a navigation menu, I think, on the left on the main page, and then underneath on the individual item pages, where you can find the baseball shirts and you can find the mugs and so forth. Travel mugs are there too. So just click around and find some other stuff. And,
I just realized something. It's my favorite thing. I like the one with your picture on it. And then you said travel mugs and coffee mugs, and I'm thinking we could put your mug on a mug.
Bingo. Yeah. Thank you. Always thinking.
Always thinking.
Idea buzz.
I'm here to help.
Right. So, and that's the thing. I got to make one that has just a logo for the show and not my head. But you know why?
Why?
So I can wear one. Because wouldn't it be weird if I was walking around with my own face on my shirt? That's kind of weird. It's already weird whenever I see Kimberly drinking out of one of the mugs with my head on it. So you're drinking out of my head today. So, there's a link. How do you find them all? Well, here's what you do. You go to bobsesca.com, just beneath the logo. Speaking of my bulbous head, I think it's right under my bulbous head. And so the link says new store. Just click that link and it'll take you right to the brand new TeePublic store where you can shop till you drop. Okay. So now that we've covered all of that, did you write all of it down? Do you have your calendar out? Do you have your to-do list out? We've got lots of assignments for people.
BobSesca.com, new store, a year in business.
There you go. That's all you need to know. Yeah. So as we predicted on Thursday's show, Trump's Truth Central is tanking. The stock price has been declining significantly, and I am so here for it. Although I will say about my prediction from Thursday, I said it was going to be a matter of weeks, if not months, before the stock price actually declined.
Welcome to the new age. Yeah, where things move a little faster. Yes.
Stupid me. My God. Because you know what? The only reason I was predicting that is because when the partnership between Truth Central. Truth Central. Back when that partnership was first announced with DWAC to form this SPAC, with the DWAC as an SPAC, when they first partnered and that was announced, the stock price for DWAC went through the roof. And then precipitously began to drop in the days after that, which is exactly what happened to the DJT stock.
This isn't just a pump and dump. This is a double pump and dump.
It might be, and maybe you know more about this than I do.
Nah.
In order for this, you used to always do during your news report, gainers leading decliners. I still have no idea what that means.
I don't remember saying that, but there's so much. There's so much I don't remember from that time.
Yeah, you'd include in your newscasts on that show you were on, and you would say, whatever happened to the stocks that day, whatever happened on the stock market, you would say gainers led decliners. No idea. I have no clue.
I'm not sure I did. If I did sports, I didn't know what I was talking about.
Right. So regardless, that's what's happening with Truth Central. It is rapidly declining on the NASDAQ, and I'm so terribly here for it. I think it peaked at around $74 a share, and now it's selling at $47 a share and falling.
Under 50. And people expect it to fall farther, I think.
Right now it's at, let me see, I'm going to refresh the Google stock page here.
Who hasn't added DJT to their phone stock app yet?
I've got a tab that's pinned on my browser window with this because it's my favorite spectator sport right now. So like right now, for example, the stock is up at around $51.
Recovered a bit. It's up almost 3 points.
Yeah. Well, you know what they call that? I think this is why I was talking about stock terminology a second ago. They call this the dead cat bounce. And I know. It's a horrendous.
How poetic.
I know. Naturally, that comes from the sociopaths in Lower Manhattan. The terminology.
I believe it, yeah.
The dead cat bounce. When a stock declines so rapidly, it hits the ground and then bounces a couple times. So you see little peaks where it appears to go up a little bit. That's right. The dead cat bounce. And it's horrendous, and I'm hating myself for even repeating it. But
And it wouldn't surprise me if Red Hats bought into it when they saw he was in trouble. I mean.
They did.
Yeah, so that's going to be part of that bounce, I think.
Yeah, so that actually happened. Tim Pool was on Twitter.
Yes.
The podcaster Tim Pool was on Twitter bragging about how he bought DJT stock. He bought Troth Central stock right when it was first announced and it went public on the NASDAQ. Mm-hmm. All the stupid Red Hats bought in. And they've now lost all kinds of money. They've lost what? What are we talking about? 26 percentage points off of their investment right now?
they're doubling down because it's back up again. It's back up to 50. It still has recovered 25% of its value.
Yeah, yeah.
The company lost, the new company lost $2 billion. Trump personally lost a billion. and billions more stand to be lost.
Yeah.
In fact, with a business model of losing $58 million a year, never mind the alleged value of the company, it's going to be worthless and out of business very quickly. You cannot continue on a loss of at a rate of $58 million a year. So we're headed for doom one way or the other, or they're headed for doom one way or the other, which is one of the delightful, encouraging pieces of news this week. Embrace it, celebrate it, enjoy it.
What did our friend Gordon Liddy used to say? He used to go, "Ye suckers!"
All I remember is shoot for the head. That's all I remember.
Awful. But he would talk about the people who voted for Bill Clinton in 1992. Right. And would go, "Ye suckers, ye 42%, ye sucker." He would say, "Ye suckers," which is typical of Gordon Liddy to choose the weird, obscure old English word.
Exactly right.
You know.
Yeah, the old-timey word. That was absolutely, I remember that very well as being part of his repertoire. A big part. I heard it entirely too much.
Whenever I see the word suckers, I'm hearing it in Gordon Liddy's voice.
Oh,
unfucking believable.
Suckers.
Yeah, yeah. But you mentioned pump and dump earlier, and I wonder if this really is a pump and dump, at least for Donald Trump, because a pump and dump for Donald Trump. How about that shit?
There we go. Well, that cinches it right there.
Happy Tuesday. But Donald Trump can't cash in any of these stocks until 6 months from now. So how can that be the dump? I mean, usually with a pump and dump, you have to dump
when the stock rises up, right? I'm looking at other investors, the people who bought in. I don't know. I don't know enough about this, but I've heard a number of people refer to it as that. You know, one way or the other, it's a scam because, as I said a moment ago, you cannot sustain on a loss of $58 million a year. So it's some kind of scam. I don't know. I don't know enough about Wall Street to know the precise term for it, but I know it ain't kosher.
I wonder why it only did $4.1 million in revenue last year. I wonder if it's because Donald Trump is an insufferable bastard who loves fascism. I wonder if it's that. I wonder if it's the racism and awfulness of the people.
Exactly.
Over there.
Exactly. Yeah. Which chases away advertisers.
Of course.
So the income is, you know, it's racing to the bottom with Twitter right now.
Right. I mean, there's only so many reverse mortgage companies you can get to advertise on your platform before you've used up that supply.
And I haven't looked. I've never looked over there. I've never been on that site, but I'm guessing also erectile dysfunction. I'm not sure who advertises there.
True, yes. So, well, meantime, and I think this is one of the reasons why the stock tanked so badly, is not only because of the significant loss we were talking about, where it did, I don't know, 50 $8.2 million in losses in 2023, total revenue of $4.1 million. But an auditor has raised doubts about the ability of Trump's publicly traded company to stay in business. Trump Media and Technology Group, which operates the Troth Central program, reported that significant loss, according to the Monday filing with the SEC. Trump Media listed its largest expense for the year as interest payments totaling more than $39 million. The filing includes a note from an independent accounting firm, Colorado-based BF Borgers CPA PC, warning that Trump Media's operating losses raise substantial doubt about its ability to continue as a going concern.
Right.
The firm has worked with Trump Media since 2022. The note is dated March 25th, the day before Trump's company started trading on the NASDAQ stock exchange under the symbol DJT, which stupid right. fucking idiot. When this tanks, it's DJT tanking. It's his initials tanking. He is Mary a Trump, stupid, yeah. stupid person.
Mary Trump pointed out that the last time he listed something on the exchange as DJT, it went bankrupt. It was another one of his businesses. He's used it once before, so he's using that cursed initial once again. Never mind the dead cat bounce, which I didn't like to say, but never mind the bounce. Oh, no, it's fine. It's what it's called.
Yeah.
Never mind that bounce. This company is hurtling into the sun. It can't survive.
Yeah, it's doing the dead cat bounce on the surface of the sun.
Into the sun, yes.
That's right. So lots of suckers buying into this, and what a shock that the guy who tried to sell meat at Sharper Image stores in the mall would actually have failed businesses here. I mean, why would anyone invest in Donald Trump stock or business ventures or give Donald Trump money in any way? It's all flushing it down the goddamn golden crapper. That's all it is. You're just, well, you know what? Keep going. Please do. If you're going to spend money on Donald Trump, you deserve to be completely screwed out of your entire checking account / savings account / whatever, because everyone knows that Donald Trump's business ventures fail. The only thing that works for him is licensing his stupid name and brand so people can slap it on their buildings for some reason. And even then, they're taking down Trump's name off of buildings. That's the best thing that he has going for himself. What, are you going to invest in Trump vodka or Trump water or Trump airlines or Trump stakes or whatever, Trump University, Trump Foundation? These are all failing things. And yet there are still people, God only knows what the percentage is, there are still people who are like, yeah, let's get that guy to be the steward of our economy. What could possibly go wrong there?
And yeah, I would say this to them. That new Trump Bible is so heavy, you can use it to tenderize Trump steaks.
True, yes.
It's a good use for it.
Oh, you mean the God Bless the USA Bible?
That one, yes.
It's the weirdest thing. That guy will never not be just a colossal weirdo. Like, they were showing that clip. They were showing that clip on Easter Sunday. It was going around on social media when Trump was president, and he was out at the Easter egg roll on the White House lawn, and some kid handed him a hat to sign. Uh-huh. And so Trump signs the hat, and then instead of handing the hat back to the kid,
right,
Trump just throws it into the crowd. Which he thought was hysterical. It was like when he did the Halloween trick or treat thing, and someone comes by dressed as a minion.
See, I don't know about the rest of you, but that really gets to me because I knew someone like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we all have. Yeah. They just don't understand. They don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a type of sociopathic behavior, I think. But yeah, I don't know about everybody else, but I knew a guy like that. Yeah. And so that's what hurts so much when I see it in Trump.
At Halloween, there was the kid dressed as a minion, and he put the candy bar on the minion's head. And as the minion starts to walk away, like, I guess I didn't get anything, the thing falls off and probably breaks into 100 pieces on the, on the ground. It's just, he does dumb shit like that. I always talk about the Conan O'Brien clip where Conan O'Brien was trying to get him to do this bit where all Donald Trump had to do was sit at a table and take a pitcher of water and pour some water into a glass. And that's it. That was part of the bit that Conan O'Brien needed to shoot. And so instead, Donald Trump picks up the pitcher of water and just pours the water onto the table and then looks around at the cast and crew or whatever standing around and like, oh, isn't that hilarious? I just poured the water under the table. And just stone silence. Everyone's going, why the fuck did he just do that?
What is wrong with you?
Such a huge weirdo. Why did I get off on the weirdo thing? There was a specific reason why we were talking about Trump being a weirdo. But yeah, I mean, anyone who buys into anything Donald Trump related, you're just flushing your money. You just say goodbye to it. So meantime, and this is a huge, huge, I cannot emphasize how big a deal this is. And this actually in some tangential way relates to Donald Trump's money. And we'll get to that in a second. But the Florida Supreme Court is allowing this ballot initiative to appear. I think there are two ballot initiatives, one to protect abortion rights and one to legalize recreational marijuana in the state of Florida. And that will be on the ballot.
Both of them.
This November.
Now,
this is a game changer, right?
I, I really think so. Because I've covered this before, I'll do it in brief. And that is, when I moved here, Purple State, voted twice for Obama, thought, oh, this is great because it's also got palm trees and beaches. So this is, I'm set. And then it took a sharp turn to the right with that old DeSantis thing. A lot of people have been saying, oh, poor you, you live in Florida, what are you going to do? And I agreed with them. I felt doomed, and as I look at the newspaper every day and see what Republican lawmakers and DeSantis are doing every day, I do feel doomed until this happened, and this changed things, because things had turned so red here, I didn't think there was any chance of coming back from it. I thought maybe chance. I had begun to give up hope on saving Florida, and then this happened. When you put abortion and marijuana on a ballot with what I like to think of as DeSantis fatigue, and maybe even a certain degree of Trump fatigue, I think Democrats might actually come in off the beaches and vote this year.
Yeah, I really, really hope so. And this could drive them to the polling places for sure.
Exactly. And those of you who have poo-pooed Florida and sawed it off into the ocean need to know we have 30 electoral votes you need, so you better be nice to us.
Right.
Because there's a chance. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying Biden can win Florida, but maybe. I mean, there was no chance before. Now there's a very real chance.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And the thing that creates a huge issue for Donald Trump with this ruling is Joe Biden has plenty of money to invest in campaigning in Florida now.
Oh, yeah.
And the Biden campaign sees Florida as winnable in 2024.
It's in play.
In a separate NBC News story, they're talking to Julie Chavez Rodriguez, who's Biden's campaign manager, who wrote in a memo shared with NBC News. She said, make no mistake, Florida is not an easy state to win, but it is a winnable one for President Biden, especially given Trump's weak, cash-strapped campaign and serious vulnerabilities within his coalition. So she goes on to say here, Biden's team, however, believes that abortion, among other issues, gives it the ability to be more competitive in the state. On Monday, the state's high court approved the ballot measure, and we know about all of that. So what that's going to do is that's going to force Donald Trump to spend money in Florida, money he does not have and probably would not have invested were this not a thing. So that is, I think, a ripple effect of this decision that contributes not only to, obviously, more people turning out in November to vote for this ballot initiative, certainly driving women to the polls, driving younger people to the polls to support these things, but also it puts Donald Trump in deeper financial crisis because he doesn't have the money to spend. And the money that he spends in Florida, he's not going to be able to spend in swing states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. He's not going to be able to spend as much money defending those states.
Yeah, Florida just got a lot more expensive for Donald Trump, as Bob has been saying. I've read that the GOP it's going to be a lot more expensive for the GOP. We're talking about the same thing. Remember, they have merged. So whether you say Trump or the GOP, for either or party or the same, Florida just got a lot more expensive. And here's why I think Florida's that the abortion issue in Florida is a bigger issue in this state than in other states where it's appeared on the ballot. The Supreme Court here, the state Supreme Court, also ruled yesterday in support of the new 6-week abortion ban. No abortions after 6 weeks, except in cases of rape or incest or one other medical condition. At any rate, it is the strictest, and it's an insane abortion law. It's one of the most oppressive abortion laws in the country. And that law will be in effect here for the next 6 months. because of that law, Florida was the only state you could come to in the South to get an abortion.
Yeah.
All the other states in the Southeast have already banned it. No, it's iffy in North and South Carolina. It's legal in Virginia. But south of that point, south of, of the Mid-Atlantic and all the way from the Texas border inward, abortion is illegal, except in Florida. But now It's illegal in Florida as well.
Yeah.
And that oppression of the people, the horror stories that are going to be in the newspapers over the next 6 months of what's happened to women seeking abortions because of this oppressive law over the next 6 months will only serve to motivate Florida voters even more.
Yeah.
To enshrine the right to abortion into the state's constitution. And when you add in these extra little kicks like marijuana and DeSantis fatigue and Trump fatigue and the culture war fatigue, I think there's a good chance Democrats, there's a chance they could win. That's what, and they certainly will be a much stronger showing now than they would have been had it not been for the ruling of this DeSantis-appointed Supreme Court.
It's just an incredible thing that Florida, and I want to be clear about this, right now, at least according to the screwy polls, Florida is not even a factor. I mean, Donald Trump is leading comfortably in Florida.
We've been written off, yeah.
Yeah, but that is, we've seen that story before.
Right.
We've been through this process before where it's like, oh, it's going to be a red wave and forget about it. It's going to be a Republican Congress for sure. And it turns out that this issue is vastly improving the fortunes of Democrats. And just this 1-2 punch, I mean, the cannabis thing aside, the very fact that this law has been able to stay on the books, according to the Supreme Court, while at the same time, so has this ballot initiative as far as the November ballot. And between those two things, suddenly this is a... a realistic thing to look at. I went so far as to say Florida should now be seen as a toss-up, much like I've had with North Carolina. I think others like Chris Boozy is going full-on Florida. He thinks that Joe Biden's going to win Florida. I'm not going that far. I am not... I'm not that crazy. I'm not.
I love it when he says that, though.
I know. But fingers crossed, you know, weirder things have been happening these days. And so, you know, it's entirely possible, given all of these additional factors. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a turnout thing and perfect timing because turnout is going to be everything in this election. So
if you came to the show today for good news, here's what we have so far. Trump media tanks.
Yeah.
Trump has to pay $175,000 on his way to paying a whole lot more. And Florida is now in play at a price to Donald Trump.
Yes.
There's your good news.
Awesome. Well, we've got some more good news later in the show, for sure. Joe Biden's getting under Trump's skin. We'll talk about that in a second.
Plus, that's great.
Yeah, Trump did. I don't know if this is good news. Probably not so much. But Donald Trump actually did end up posting the bond on his fraud appeal. So we'll talk about that here in a second, too. Right. Plus, expanded gag order in the Judge Mershon election interference case in New York City.
Another one. Yeah.
We'll get into that as well. Okay. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about all of those things and a whole lot more right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Oh, yeah, brand new music from Elijah Bone and our friend Dave Barrett. Sing, sing, sing song. It's a song called Sweet Love. Everything's gonna... Just got it. Just got it in here. So good. Yeah, yeah. Got a link in the description, of course, to support Elijah Bone. And you can also check out his other project called Subred Lux. So great. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you.
Yeah, to put that kind of emotion into your vocalization, you know, to do, that's the soul that you feel coming out of a song like that.
Love yeah, it. Yeah, yes, indeed. So, yeah, if you want to download this song, I think you can download it. Just go to BobSeska.com, find this episode dated 4/2/24, click that link, scroll on down, you'll find links to support all the independent recording artists on today's show. Thank you for doing that.
There's a link.
Let's talk about Donald Trump posting this bond, finally.
Yes,
this kind of got lost in the mix over the last day or so. But the bond was provided. And by the way, just to be clear about this,
yes,
he's already done the bond for the E. Jean Carroll appeal, which was right. provided by, what was the group? It was called, provided by the Chubb Group, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so this bond, this is for the civil fraud judgment. This is the Judge Engoron case, right? And so the bond has been provided by a California-based company called Knight Specialty Insurance Company. Sounds reputable, doesn't it?
yeah, K-N-I-G-H-T, but yes, yeah, nevertheless, it sounds shady. Sure.
Yeah, Trump's collateral to secure the loans was a combination of cash and investment-grade bonds, according... Shit. You know what? I'm not going to be able to not laugh when we talk about this guy. But the guy, the chairman of Knight Insurance, his name is Don Hankey.
Ah, Mr. Hankey.
It's Mr. Hankey.
Howdy ho!
Mr. Hankey.
There he is.
Yes, Mr. Hankey, the Christmas poo, yeah. is helping out Donald Trump with his bond. And Mr. Hankey.
Hi, Mr. Hankey. I'm not surprised. I'm not a bit surprised.
Right, right. So he will never be known as Don Hankey on this show.
Oh, no. Mr. to us.
Always Mr. Hankey, of course.
Howdy,
That'll never not be funny. let's see here. Oh, Mr. Hankey told Forbes. Not that.
That's how he. That's how he started.
That's how he started.
Yeah. Yeah.
First he said howdy ho, and then he said
right.
his company had initiated the deal, reaching out to Trump just a few days before an appeals court lowered the amount Trump would have to pay while his appeal was heard. This is what we do at Knight Insurance, said Mr. Hankey, who confirmed he had supported Trump's political campaigns in the past.
Yes, there you go. Big donor, big Trump donor specifically. Right. That's why he rushed to Donnie's rescue here. And, you know, this, you know, who knows what Mr. Hankey got in return.
I'd never met Donald Trump. I'd never talked to him on the phone. Well, no. maybe in the Golden Crapper he did. Maybe he was just there hanging out in the toilet, right. floating around. Right? And so he said, I heard that he needed a loan or a bond, and this is what we do. So we reached out, and he responded. The deal, Mr. Hankey said, came together in just a few days. Sure. Hankey...
that's Mr.
I'm sorry. It just makes me laugh. Mr. Hankey, a billionaire who provides over an auto services empire, may never have met Trump.
He's a car dealer.
Right. Yeah. But he was the largest individual owner of Axos Financial, the lender that bailed out Trump by refinancing his mortgages at Trump Tower and his Miami resort in 2022.
He owns a bank.
Yeah, yeah. So Donald Trump's already up to his eyeballs in debt to this guy.
Right.
Axos also previously had done business with the family of Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law.
Of course they had.
Yeah. So the Trumps up to their eyeballs in Christmas poo.
Well,
and what we all have to keep in mind here is, yeah, he kind of got bailed out here by a donor.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to pay this back, or at least he's on the hook for it. He's going to have to pay it back somehow.
Yeah.
Or the guy's going to get screwed, and any of these things are possible. This buys him a little time, but he's going to lose this appeal that he's delaying.
Yeah.
That he's won a delay, but he's going to lose the appeal. And that means he's going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars more.
Yeah.
That can't be covered by Mr. Hankey.
I think, did you say Mr. Hankey?
I did.
Howdy ho!
I'm here to help.
Thank you. Yeah, Tristan Snell was saying on Stephanie's show yesterday that it's likely the appeals court will lower the amount of the judgment. So it's possible that the number, whatever it was, $454 million.
Yeah, $464, I think, and really with interest, over a half billion now, Bob.
Right, right. So that's going to be, I love hearing that. So that's going to be probably lowered a little bit, or I think we should at least calibrate our expectations. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. Let's calibrate our expectations with the knowledge that it could be lower. He may only have to pay another $250 million.
Right.
You know, can you? I mean, either way, this joker's going to have to fork over hundreds of millions of dollars more. And even if it's not $400 million more, it might be $200 million more.
Right.
He's not long. He can delay. That he can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
But losing the appeal and getting out of the paying the money, those things he cannot get away with.
I guess he's allowed to take out another loan to pay the amount.
Apparently. And again, that's compromise. Yeah. When you've got, you can't get a government job if you owe huge amounts of money.
Right.
Because the government can properly assume that you're indebted to someone, that you owe someone. And again, you know, I may joke about it, but what kind of favor is Mr. Hankey getting out of this? You know, he's getting, yeah. And I didn't say that just for the cue, he's getting something for that.
Yeah. Who knows? And that's what we should be immensely aware of. Like, this guy may have interests that he wants to protect overseas or domestically that would influence Donald Trump's decision making as a would-be dictator. And, you know, obviously, as a dictator, there's a whole lot that Donald Trump doesn't have to pay attention to. Where people are going, but you promised. Well, no, what? I'm the dictator. You know, what are you going to do? Elect me out? No, that's never going to happen. I'm never going to go. So what's the debt? What could possibly happen to me that you could do that would be at all affecting my life in any way, shape, or form? And there's nothing. But all things being normal, the very fact that Donald Trump would be beholden to a variety of creditors, maybe some of them with bizarre and dangerous foreign entanglements.
They now hold power over him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, suffice to say, the amount of money that Donald Trump owes in debt, and there's more to come, by the way, this compromises him, as you said, in a serious, serious way, but it also...
National security.
National security. That was the second part I was getting to. Serious breach of national security, or a potential breach of national security.
Indeed. Well, very strongly, to the point that the government, if you or I went down to apply for a government job, they find out we are this much in debt, we're not going to get clearance. I don't know if you get the job. Depends on what job you're applying for. You're certainly not going to get clearance when you owe that kind of debt, because you are prejudged to be compromised, and properly so. I mean, I think that's a case where, you are guilty until proven innocent because you are indebted to someone.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, if you just happen to have it ready, I would just say I'm sure that Donald Trump thinks Mr. Hankey is beneath him. Heidi-ho.
Right, just hanging out there, floating around in the toilet.
Now, see, you didn't have to do that part.
Well, that's where Mr. Hankey hangs
out.
I know. That's what he does. But that's what he does. Okay, so we'll continue to update you as information comes in on the relationship between Donald Trump and Mr. Hankey. The Christmas poop.
Again, know that even though somebody dived in here to save him, as it were, he isn't really saved. This bought him a little time, but he's still on the hook for another 170. And there'll be more. There'll be hundreds of millions more. And this on top of the other good news that we've shared with you today. I feel pretty good today about the way things are going.
Yeah, me too. Although, I will say this. In the context of the election interference trial that will get underway, at least with jury selection on April 15th, which is just, 13 days from right now,
from
the day we're recording this episode.
Right.
I am immensely frustrated right now with the seemingly large number of people who appear somehow surprised when Donald Trump violates norms. I was watching an episode of, it was usually Lawrence O'Donnell comes on at 10 o'clock on MSNBC.
Right.
Well, it was Andrew Weissman hosting a show. This was either last Thursday or Friday night. And so Andrew Weissman was talking to a guest who was like, yeah, I think judges, they're perpetually amazed that Donald Trump will go as far as he does. Like, where have they been? It's almost, right. It's been almost 10 years since the escalator. We've been watching Donald Trump operate in the political sphere for all this time, up in our faces, 24/7, constantly. And there are people who are still surprised by his behavior. Like these threats against family members is like, oh my God, what is this? I never could have foreseen this. Well, where have you been? And that includes Judge Mershon. You know, and I get the idea that, and I completely am supportive of the idea that you can never be more outraged than the actual victim of the thing. And In this case, we're talking about Judge Mershon and his family, specifically his daughter, who Donald Trump went after with a series of just screeching rants all over Troth Central. And included her photo, posted her picture up on Troth Central, and it was marching orders for the MAGA militias is what we're talking about here. And that was because Judge Mershon didn't foresee that Donald Trump would go this far. Instead, issuing a gag order that did not protect his own family, did not protect the family of DA Alvin Bragg. Consequently, Donald Trump sees that as a big invitation, not just as an opening, but as an invitation to say whatever the fuck he wants, to dispatch his people to intimidate, if not physically harm, whoever it is he's talking about. That's the context of the bloodbath thing that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. He does this all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does indeed. I think, and not in defense of judges, what I'll say is judges had a certain kind of naivete about Trump in this respect.
Yeah.
They had seen his behavior in public. They were, in fact, of course, familiar with his behavior, but they may have been so hypnotized by the judicial system. They may have been so enamored with the judicial system that they didn't think Trump would violate the sanctity of that.
Yeah.
I think they thought this is what's different, Bob, right now is for once, or at least more publicly, he's under the scrutiny of the legal system, be it civil or criminal.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a new arena here. As far as our view of him publicly, I just don't think judges expected him to be that Trump in their courtroom. Now, they were naive in thinking so, but I think that's what they thought.
Yeah. Again, there are examples that you can cite from previous court escapades by Donald Trump.
Well, now there are. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but,
indeed, that, and that's why judges' patience should have run out by now. And in some cases, we're seeing signs of that, but not nearly what we should have. It is literally too little and too late. Although I would argue it's never too late. But it's time to put the hammer down. We've given him all the breaks and then some that anyone should ever get. Mm-hmm. We need to stop bending over backward as far as we have. I what we keep hearing from the people in the system is saying, well, he needs to be afforded the same rights as everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, he has abused those rights. So, no, I don't think so. And this the threats against Mershon's daughter here come in the midst of this, you know, Biden tied up in the back of a pickup decal.
Oh, thing. Yeah. Jesus, you know? Christ. God, you know what? That slipped through the cracks in my mind. And I was freaking out about it the other day. I was like, okay, he posted that on Troth Central. He put that. It wasn't just that there was a red hat with that sticker on the back of his truck. Just to give you a heads up here, he did. There was a guy driving around on the highway somewhere with a pickup truck with the Trump flags on it and shit. And there was a sticker on the back of the pickup truck that had an image of Joe Biden like bound and gagged, like tied up with ropes as though Calf the rope, guy
whatever,
in the pickup truck was kidnapping him. And right. Donald Trump shared that. So it's like, okay, yeah, the MAGA parade people, the boat parade people are going to do their thing. But Donald Trump shared it, which is Donald Trump's endorsement of doing that. And that, I think, contributes to this eliminationist attitude that a lot of MAGA people have, where it's just like, okay, well, that guy is the enemy, so we need to eliminate that guy. And this is actually about jury intimidation.
Well, also, yes, it is. It is. But I just, in on the subject of the daughter, let me just say, there have been hundreds of threats against judges, court workers and their families over the last few months that can be traced to things that Trump has said.
Yes.
So people's lives are being threatened here. What I've said to MAGA people as recently as this morning is, what part of death threats don't you understand?
But going back to the jury situation, imagine being a potential juror in this case. And the possibility, in fact, the eventuality that Donald Trump is going to see the names of those jury members. And that is one of the things that set me off with this. Like, do you not know Judge Mershon? Do you not understand how this guy operates? And yet, and it was still in the, okay, so the gag order was expanded to include family members. But also in this broader order from Judge Mershon, he talks about, well, you know what, if he does it again, we're not going to give him the list of jury names when that's finally finalized. I was like, well, hang on a second. You were going to do that? Or that's a thing? You're still going to do it? You cannot give this guy and his defense the list of jurors. All Donald Trump's going to do with that list is take it and hand it off to Steve Bannon. And then Steve Bannon's going to and his minion are going to go after the jurors. Donald Trump doesn't have to do it himself. He doesn't have to go and post about them on Truth Central. All he needs to do is send the message to Charlie Kirk or any of these Red Hat Entertainment Complex people, and they'll take care of the dirty work. Suddenly the names of the jurors appear on Breitbart or wherever, you know?
Yeah, so everyone is clear. The instructions are that this information, the jury information, is to be made available only to the defense attorneys and their immediate staff.
Right, right.
And the specific order is it shall not be shared with the client, which was Donald
Trump. Oh, is that it? So Donald Trump's not going to be able to see?
No, but as you and I talked about this, I don't know, a couple of weeks back, and here's where we came to that brings us back to you could be right, Bob.
Okay.
as often is the case. Those are the specific instructions. Yes, the attorneys can see it. Yes, their immediate staff can see it. No, Trump can't see it, and no one else can see it. That's the ruling from the court. But as you and I talked about before, Bob, one of those staff members for one of those lawyers might just leak it to him or to somebody or to just leak it publicly. So in the end, yes, Trump could get his hands on that information, and that is a real threat. But just know that was not the instruction. What the reality may be, you may be absolutely right. It may turn out that way, and that will be horrible. But those are the rules that have been laid out. Unless the attorneys and their staff are brave enough to violate that rule, we're theoretically safe.
I understand the strictures of the law. I understand the boundaries of norms when it comes to criminal cases like this. But I also get the fact that there's a long list of precedent for Donald Trump's behavior in these contexts. And that should be enough to have issued a blanket gag order at the very start to prevent him from talking about the case publicly at all. I mean, maybe he can talk about the case, but not talk about any individuals associated with the case whatsoever, to the point of intimidating. I mean, he can talk about how it's, you know, a witch hunt or whatever. But mentioning Judge Mershon, mentioning Alvin Bragg, talking about how they're just there to destroy Trump and how they're the enemy and how their families are the enemy and all that. I hate to say it, but the damage has been done. This gag order, the expanded gag order that was issued yesterday, her name is already out there. Her image is already out there.
The threats have already poured in.
Yeah, yeah. And so at this point, like, what can this expanded gag order actually do?
Theoretically prevent him from doing it again on threat of threat of imprisonment. I started trying to say jailing, which is exactly what would happen. The judge went so far as to say that in the ruling.
Yes.
I don't Trump, and maybe he will, and we'll all see it when we get there. I want to say a couple of things because I've been dealing with MAGA, with Red Hats, responding to both the decal that we were talking about, the body wrap or whatever it is, and that truck that was pictured in the video. That's one of perhaps hundreds across the country. These trucks have been spotted in a number of places with Biden tied up, pictured to be tied up in the back. And the response I'm getting, both about the comments about Trump's comments about the judge's daughter and the decal. The defense I'm hearing from MAGA are the same for both things, the daughter and the decal. MAGA's saying the same thing about both things. They're saying free speech. What happened to free speech?
Yeah.
Free speech, kids, is I don't like Biden's policies. Free speech is not portraying the binding and kidnapping of a sitting U.S. president.
Mm-hmm. Exactly
that,
right.
No. That is a threat. That is stochastic terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump is promoting it.
That's right.
And we heard, well, you know, what about Kathy Griffin and you know, other things came up. They weren't running for president, mm-hmm. you know, for one thing. This guy is running for president, and he's threatening or implying a threat or encouraging a threat, certainly illustrating mm-hmm. a threat, a how-to, if you will, against the current president.
Yeah.
And we just keep letting this slide. So when you hear or see any MAGA saying free speech, free speech is I don't like Biden's policies.
Right.
Free speech is not portraying him bound and kidnapped in the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing is the issue of jailing Trump.
Uh-huh.
Where do you land on that as far as that sort of thing backfiring? Because I know as soon as Donald Trump were to be thrown into jail for contempt, oh my God, the fucking political press. The rending of garments will be extreme. Oh my God, is this going to elect Donald Trump? The fact that he can be a martyr now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, what the judge can do is start fining him. That's what will actually happen.
Yeah.
Because, it would be an instant ticket to martyrdom. And I think, you know, but part of me thinks that Trump thinks that would maybe even be a good thing.
Yeah.
Although he wouldn't think that once he was locked up.
Right.
But, we have to demonstrate that this can't be tolerated. We have to draw a hard line. And if it means exponentially growing fines, whatever it takes, if it destroys him, it destroys him. It's got to stop.
And so I think fines may be the way to do it. Just hit Donald Trump at his weakest point, which is his wallet. His inability to be able to pay for anything. Yeah,
it doesn't hurt for him to know that jail is an option.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well, and in a broader sense, I'm in this place right now, Buzz, where I'm getting increasingly frustrated with people, and this goes beyond the criminal cases and judges and gag orders.
Right.
I'm just completely astonished that there are still some people who are underestimating what this guy's going to do if he becomes president again, acting as though all things are normal. Like, it's okay if we vote against Joe Biden because of Gaza or because of this other thing.
Just politics.
Yeah. Who knows? I'm sick of old white men. Yeah, you know what? You know what's going to fucking happen? Donald Trump's going to become president, and then, for example, if your issue is Gaza and protecting the Palestinian people, you're walking right into that propeller. You're walking right into it, because you know what Donald Trump's going to do? He is going to deport, and he's already talked about this. He's promised to deport supporters of Hamas, and what that's going to do is that's going to inevitably sweep up Palestinian Americans who are going to be deported en masse.
Right, and the difficult message that we have to get through, and gosh, it seems like we've been here before, and that is explaining to these folks, because the plan is for people who are unhappy about Israel and Gaza,
as an example,
example, it could be environmental, it could be whatever your beef is with the Biden administration. A lot of people are responding to that by either voting third party-ish, you know, voting independent, whatever, you know, RFK, whatever, or just as bad, maybe worse, staying home.
Mm-hmm.
And what our job now, as it was with Bernie Sanders back in the day, is to explain to people that if you do that, you're going to guarantee the election of Donald Trump.
Yep.
So, and he's going to be much worse for your issue than Joe Biden is. So you may not be thrilled. And I would preach this going up to the 2016 election. Maybe you don't like Hillary Clinton. I'll even say I get that. You know, I mean, she's like the smartest person who ever could have been president, but I understand why certain people might find her irritating or unpleasant or unpalatable or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's because I know people well enough to know how they respond to strong women, for example. So, you know, maybe you didn't like Hillary. Well, that's fine, but she was the most qualified person for the job.
Yeah.
So by not voting, you helped the other guy get elected, and he's a freaking dangerous idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the message we had to get out then is the same message we're doing it again, is we've got to get people to vote. And the reason is because you're not going to like what happens if you don't.
Yep. One specific member of Congress who's already called for nuking Gaza.
Yeah.
This is what taking votes away from Joe Biden will precipitate. And I don't know how often we have to explain this, how often we have to go through the whole idea of binary elections. If it's not one guy, it's the other guy. There are two parties in this country, and one of the two parties or one of the candidates from one of the two parties is going to win an election. And if you take votes away from the good guy, you're giving votes to the guy who will listen to Republicans who want to nuke Gaza, who will deport Palestinian Americans in this blitz across the country to deport brown people.
If you don't vote and vote Biden, you're not going to like what happens next.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, there's just no other way to put it. And that's the message we, and I'm not, I don't mean you. I mean, that's our message to others.
It's all there. We know what he's going to do. There should be no surprise here. There should be no underestimating of what Donald Trump's going to do. It's foolishness. It's absolute foolishness. And again, I'm not just talking about
underestimate him.
Right. And I'm talking about across the board, all of the things. We know what's happening. There are people talking about it. This is not an invisible set of issues surrounding Donald Trump. We know he's been around for 10 years now. Next year, it'll be 10 years. And we know what he does, what he believes, how he behaves, and the chaos that this causes. Democracy will end. Fascism will rise in this country if Donald Trump wins. There will be mass chaos and instability, not only with the economy, but with society in general. And Donald Trump will not leave. They're already talking about, there's an article out about how Republicans are looking at repealing term limits for the president.
Yeah, the 22nd Amendment. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. The 22nd Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at wanting to repeal that. And so this is a real movement of people who want an actual dictator. And I don't know why we have to continuously explain it, but we do.
I was wrong in the past. We have all been wrong at some point to say it can't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
It is happening here. Unless we stop it, that's the stake of this election.
So please, judges, DAs, attorneys general, prosecutors, voters in general, wise up. we know what he's all about. Yeah.
We've brought a lot of good news today, and I'm very proud of that fact. I want to just turn the lights down for a second and make it a little dark.
Right.
And I'm talking about the American people and the streets of our country. What happens if Trump's jailed? What happens if he loses?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if he wins?
Yeah.
Has anybody given any thought to these specific questions? Mm-hmm. What does happen if he loses?
Yeah.
What will happen? I mean, is somebody looking at that? I hope.
Yeah.
Sorry, we can turn the lights back up now.
All right. So I want to talk about Kristen Welker here in a second, and I want to talk about how Joe Biden is effectively getting under Trump's skin.
Yay.
I think if anyone knows what Donald Trump is all about, it's Joe Biden. And Joe Biden's hammering Trump, manipulating Donald Trump, which
is hilarious.
So fantastic. We're going to talk about that in just a few seconds. Back with more podcasts right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. But Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past. And the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. The International Transgender Day of Visibility is always on March 31st. Always. Easter is harder to figure out than Passover, which is harder to figure out than when the eclipse is coming. Do you know what I'm saying? These are challenging calendars. March 31st is not a challenging date. And what is anti-Christian about a transgendered individual? Like, didn't God make all people? Didn't he make all the creatures? Everything is in his image. I mean, the day that I meet him, her, the day that I actually see... It's going to be so revelatory. It's going to be so interesting. It'd be like, see, I knew that. I knew it. You really are Judy Garland. I knew it. I knew it. I don't know what's wrong with people. I really don't. You don't see pot smokers getting all upset because 420 falls on Hitler's birthday, do you? Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Talking, talking about people, I hear them whisper, you won't believe it.
Yeah, this is, of course, something to talk about. Kaz, recording artist Kaz, covering Bonnie Raitt. Link in the description to download this song. It's a good one to have. We all like this track. Yeah, and bobseska.com/music to submit your work. And while you're there, do some shopping in our brand new Bob Seska Show store. Lots
fun.
Of great stuff there. Yes, it is fun. Okay.
Love his style, by the way. Reminded me of living in New Orleans.
It
had that kind of feel to it.
The whole Kaz EP, which we were playing songs from a few years ago, is just wonderful. Just go get
you.
It. Get into your record collection. You
play
won't.
Play me more of that, please.
Okay, I will. Okay. All right, sounds good. Let's talk about Kristen Welker real quick.
Yes.
She did it again. This is the kind of shit I'm talking about. The soft language surrounding Donald Trump coming from the political press. And look, I understand. I don't want to get ahead of myself here too much, but I understand, as someone who's worked in journalism, the need to present a non-biased clinical front when reading
especially
the news,
on a show like this. I mean, it's important for a show like Meet the Press to have, pardon the expression, access to both Democrats and Republicans.
Right, right. You don't want to include too much color, and color meaning opinion.
Right.
But what happens is they're so timid about calling things what they are that they actually make things worse.
And that's emblematic of the media these days.
Yeah. So let's listen to Kristen Welker describing the political landscape right now in relation to Donald Trump's criminal trial starting on April 15th.
Meanwhile, this week, the former president stepped up his attacks on the judge and his family in the New York hush money case after that judge imposed a partial gag order on Mr. Trump less than 3 weeks from the April 15th start date in that trial. And now Trump is asserting that none of the trials should, quote, take place during my campaign, falsely calling the criminal proceedings election interference. It is yet another reminder that we are covering this election against the backdrop of a deeply divided nation.
They're
covering it against a backdrop of painted cardboard and styrofoam.
No.
No. God damn it. She called it a deeply divided nation after describing Donald Trump threatening the family of a judge presiding over his criminal case and talking about it as though she was just talking about, you know, these candidates have contrasts and they, you know, support things.
Another day in politics. Right. Wacky politics.
Normal. Yeah.
Sillies.
Yeah. Oh, just unforgivable. This, and I'm not saying that Kristen Welker needs to sound like me. I'm not saying that she needs to get outraged and be yelling into a microphone like I do. I'm just saying that when there is someone who is running for president who has already been president and has already done all the horrible things he's already done, when he starts threatening a judge and the judge's daughter, endangering their lives.
While facing 88 criminal charges.
Exactly. You don't describe it in the la-di-da way that she actually did. The great Richard Stengel tweeted this in reaction to Kristen Welker. He said, "The journalistic trope of saying we are, quote, deeply divided is a normalizing frame and a moral dodge. Yes, we were deeply divided during the Civil War, but the two sides were not equal. One was in favor of enslaving human beings. One candidate already has tried to overturn an election and is giving every indication of trying to do it again."
Right.
"Overturning democracy is not a side. The First Amendment protects the press so the press can protect democracy." Very well said.
Extremely
Richard Stengel.
Well said.
Yeah. Thank yeah. You. So when you say it's a deeply divided nation, what you're saying is the divisions are even, Stephen, right? The divisions like, hey, well, this guy says this and this guy says that. And so we're just divided over these things.
You know what we're all united on is Kristen Welker.
I think.
Yeah, and NBC News in general. I don't know what's going to happen over there. It hasn't happened yet, really. I mean, I've heard inklings that, No, I don't think any real changes have been made, but what I hear is that big changes are coming. I can only hope it helps. But it's, you know, and we were hoping when the NBC McDaniels scandal broke that, you know, networks would be shocked by this enough to change their coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a big sign of that. We'll keep watching.
Yeah.
But certainly Welker killed any hope of that by coming back with that BS about the deeply divided nation.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, I think you posted this and I've said the like of it before, and that is there are not two sides when one of those sides puts children in cages.
That's not
a legitimate side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or when one side decides to order his militias to invade and occupy Congress, or when one side ended up presiding over hundreds of thousands of American deaths during his final year in office. These are things that you do not normalize. You do not present them in normal language, in soft language. You have to emphasize the danger of this. And and again, you don't have to do it in a yelling tone. You don't have to use any sort of hyperbole. All you got to do is say that we are here and this kind of thing will place us there and we don't want to be there. And that's got to be a mandate for the press. The press has got to frame these issues in those terms rather than merely looking at, and this is something that's been happening for many, many years. It's not Kristen Welker. It's, you know, you can go back to Chuck Todd and before him, David Gregory, and before him, Tim Russert, where every issue is pumped through the prism of horse race politics. Everything is seen, well, okay, Donald Trump has said this, and instead of talking about the danger of this thing that he said about Judge Marchand's daughter, instead what we're going to do is we're going to talk about, well, how does this affect the dynamics of the race? How does this put Donald Trump in terms of the poll numbers in the swing states? No.
No.
That's completely irrelevant.
It's time for the media to know what the public knows, which is that it's not two sides to put kids in cages. It's not two sides to be in favor of pollution or in favor of, as in the Civil War, again, still unresolved, the issue of white supremacy. That is not a side. None of those positions are a legitimate side of the argument.
Yeah.
You can argue over how to approach these problems. That's called policy, which is where politics comes from. Maybe we could get back to that someday. That'd be nice. But it's not a legitimate side. There are not two legitimate sides here. And yet the media continues to treat them as such, illustrated best by Kristen Welker's own words just played here.
You know, people look to journalists, they look to the press to know what they should be concerned about. And right. if the rising fascism in this country, I mean, again, it's not just Donald Trump. There's an entire movement around him that's pushing for fascism. There are foreign dictators who are encouraging this, Vladimir Putin among them. Yes. We're going to be talking about the other side of that issue in the shadow docket from China. Right. And so this is making fascism more likely when you describe the rise of fascism in normalizing soft language, soft terms like Kristen Welker has with this deeply divided nation nonsense. Mm-hmm. And so they're actually making things worse.
Yes, by calling it just politics.
Right, right. And, you know, I don't want to end on that sort of sour note with Kristen Welker.
Of course not. No, not with all this good news we had today.
Yes. So let's talk about how Joe Biden is getting under Donald Trump's skin.
Oh, there you go. That's perfect. I love that.
NBC News. Let's listen to Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe talking about how Biden is deliberately antagonizing Donald Trump. And I'm so, so here for it.
Meanwhile, NBC News is learning key details about President Biden's newest campaign strategy, and that is getting under Donald Trump's skin. In the past few weeks, the president has ramped up the personal attacks against his Republican opponent in both private and public settings, targeting Trump's financial challenges, campaign tempo, and even his weight. Multiple Biden aides and advisors familiar with the approach tell NBC News that the strategy has largely been driven by Biden himself, and they're just following his lead. One Biden aide said, quote, there's just something about Joe Biden that gets under Donald Trump's skin more than anybody. And I think Joe Biden knows that. In recent days, the Biden campaign has posted the following attack lines, calling Donald Trump feeble, confused, and tired, weak and desperate, broke Don, campaign can't raise money, lying about having money he definitely doesn't have, a loser, he must have injected bleach, old and out of shape. Well, there is that, Sam Stein. The Biden campaign has been really good.
Thank you, Mika Brzezinski, right?
Yeah, I've been following these posts, and they're excellent, yes.
Yes, they absolutely are. And there are some people who are like, he shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't lower himself to Donald Trump's level. Well, you know what? He's not. All he's doing is jabbing Donald Trump, like getting Donald Trump to get like the whole idea of getting under Donald Trump's skin,
pushing his buttons.
Yeah, that's very easy to do,
which is a far cry from tying him up in the back of a pickup.
That is absolutely true. And that's where the false equivalence is.
Exactly.
Anyone who says, he's lowering himself. You know what? No, he's not. You can never lower yourself to Donald Trump's level. It is impossible. It is subterranean.
I hope that the complaining about, he shouldn't be doing that, I hope that's not coming from the same people who said Democrats need to improve their messaging. Mm. Because Republicans have already proved, unless we're stupid and haven't learned this, Republicans have already proven that it's really about communication. I mean, having those key words and phrases, having those hot button phrases, and knowing, you know, how to own us, it's time to own the cons.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, the part of the calculus, I think, is that Donald Trump is going to continue getting lower and lower and lower with his nonsense. His attacks are going to become more and more outrageous. And
we predicted fatigue earlier in the season. You and I predicted there will be as this year drags on. Mm-hmm. And I said something else. I said to MAGA this week is he said something about the judge whining about his what Trump said about his daughter.
Yeah.
I said no. You don't understand. Trump's the one who does the whining.
Yeah.
Trump's the one who's constantly bitching and complaining and whining. There's your crybaby, I said back to this person. This is the kind of messaging we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yay.
And so as Donald Trump continues to screech, and as the standards for Donald Trump's screechings get lower and lower and lower, I think that's when more and more people go, Oh, that's right. I remember what he's all about. It's a way of jarring people back into, jarring people out of their stupor, out of their amnesia, and reminding them what Donald Trump is, who he is, what he says, and the dangers those things cause. Wow. And this is a great way to do it. It's a very easy way, very inexpensive way to get Donald Trump to piss off more and more people as he goes.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Well, yeah. You know, Bob, I'm leafing through my Trump Bible here, and I don't know how accurate it is. It has Jesus wearing gold sneakers. I don't think that's right.
No, I don't think so. No. Oh, the funny thing about that is, and we discovered this on Thursday.
Yes.
He talked about in his God Bless the USA right. Bible, he talked right. about how it's got the Constitution in it.
Uh-huh,
it's right. got the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
It's got the Bill of Rights.
That too.
And the Pledge of Allegiance. He doesn't realize Donald Trump has already been president for 4 years, and he doesn't know that the Bill of Rights is actually part of the Constitution. Exactly. It's not a separate document. It's part of the thing. It's there. It's the first 10 amendments, for fuck's sake.
His idiocy is one of the truths we hold self-evident.
Yes, of course. And he doesn't know it yet. And you know what? I would say 99.9% of his followers don't know that yet. They've just heard that.
No,
and like, oh, it's
no
got,
idea.
It also has the Bill of Rights in it. Oh, that's good. Bonus.
I heard it from Q.
Right. Okay. Shadow Dockets coming up next, by the way, on our Patreon page. Join the fun, why don't you? Big community happening on the Patreon page. It's a safe space where you can go and talk about politics without having to worry about trolls and a-holes, right?
Right.
So go do it. Go sign up at least $1 a month, or you can also follow the show on Patreon for free, so you get the free shows, but you don't get the bonus content. For that, you need to sign up for at least $5 a month, and that includes the Shadow Docket bonus show, which we do as soon as this music finishes playing. We just keep on talking. Today, we're going to talk about, let's see, on the Shadow Docket, pro-Trump Chinese disinformation.
Yeah, here we go with that again.
Yeah. Also, Republicans want to rename a popular airport. We'll talk about that.
Oh, God.
And Cenk Uygur, all that on the Shadow Rock. See you over there. Bye-bye.